Welcome to the Totem Figures Podcast. I'm TJ Dell. Corin Raymond is the enthusiasm that walks like a man. That's his description of himself. He's a Toronto-based singer-songwriter, and he's got a handful of albums to his credit, either on his own or as half the acoustic duo The Undesirables. He's a great friend of mine, and I've seen him perform more than any other musical artist. Corin overflows with love and enthusiasm for dozens of different artists in the world of music, movies, and books. So getting him to narrow down his Mount Rushmore to a measly five names is like trying to pour a barrel of sparkling water into a juice glass. So this is going to be the first in a series of Totem Figures podcasts with him. The rest will appear periodically in the future. I'm not sure when because we haven't recorded them yet. But for now, we're going to look at Tom Waits, the Rolling Stones, the band, Sam Cooke, and we'll start off talking about Howlin' Wolf.
I got into Howlin' Wolf as a result of trying to determine what the blues was. I went downtown to Toronto. We lived in Georgetown, just an hour outside the city, and I made a day trip to Toronto, determined to come home with some real blues. I love the Blues Brothers, and I knew they were super cool, but I knew they weren't the blues, and I didn't know where they were coming from, and I wanted to understand where they were coming from. And I also had read, I had a Blues Brothers book, and in the book, Howlin' Wolf was actually mentioned. And
so, Blues Brothers book?
Yeah, there's a Blues Brothers book that they put together. It's like a, it was like, it had like documents in it about the Blues Brothers. It had their FBI file, it had all this stuff in it.
And it had stuff about actual blues men.
Yeah, there was stuff about, that they were writing about, like Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters were two guys they mentioned. And I went downtown, and it wasn't Howlin' Wolf I got at first. The first thing I got was Real Folk Blues, Muddy Waters. But then the next thing I got was another cassette, and it was a Howlin' Wolf tape.
Oh, ask them for water. Oh, she brought me gasoline.
And I'm not even sure what it was called. I think it was just called Smokestack Lightning, and it was just a collection. But it had some killer stuff on it. It had Ask for Water on it. You know, when he'd sing about Ask for Water and She Brought Me Gasoline, like that song is just, that recording is one of the most haunting blues recordings.
That's a turbulent wobble. That I ever see.
Oh man, Heber Sumlin was just hanging these sort of these little guitar, these little riffs in the air, you know, and they're just floating by, and there's this feeling in that song, and he says the church bell told him the hearse comes driving slow. Howlin' Wolf suggested all these other worlds, you know. There was something menacing and frightening and primal and something like a gospel shouter, you know, the kind of juice that he could reach for. And the lyrics of the poetry of the blues that Howlin' Wolf sang was just especially satisfying. And to this day, I mean, I would rather hear Howlin' Wolf's voice.
My baby, don't need me no more.
It's the voice of a big man who is giving everything that he's got. You know, I mean, Howlin' Wolf was one of the original frontmen. Howlin' Wolf would climb the curtains. He would crawl around the stage on his belly. You know, he was a frightening performer. Like, I mean, from all accounts that I've read. And
how big was he?
Well, in that song of his, he has that thing about ahoy, ahoy, I'm the boy. You get 300 pounds of a heavenly joy. You know, he says that.
Hi, hi, I'm the boy. I got 300 pounds of a heavenly joy. I'm so glad that you understand. I'm 300 pounds of a muslin man.
This is how he's describing himself. It's that whole thing too. It's like he's up there 300 pounds and he's just bragging about how fat he is and, you know, what he's going to deliver.
And how did this translate into the music that you make?
Like Look Out Jack is a song, like I would have like loved him. I would have given that song to Howlin' Wolf, you know, like if I had the chance. That's a song that was entirely based on like the kind of stuff he would see.
There's always some strange man, some handsome young man, will come along and mess around another man's plan. Look out, Jack, she's mine. There's always someone new, there's always someone who is gonna turn her on a little more than you do. Look out, Jack, she's mine. You better look both ways when you cross her mind. I know you cross her mind.
Well, tell me about Tom Waits.
Tom Waits. I discovered him when I was 15 years old through a juggler. I was juggling at a friend's place in Brampton. We were out there juggling, and he had Tom Waits on a ghetto blaster. I remember I kept having to ask him, like, who's this again? Tom Waits. And it was Swordfish Trombones. That was the first thing I ever heard by Tom Waits was Underground. I was 15, and he was like this. He was my secret, man. He was like a portal to a mystical world. And he brought everything together. Like, he had Howlin' Wolf going on. But he could also do, like, the Broadway writers that I loved. And he also had this sort of... I mean, he had the theater, and he had the blues, and he had the gospel, and he had the beat poet, and he had all those elements.
Nighthawks at the diner, Hammers 49er. There's a rendezvous of strangers around a coffee in the night. All the gypsy hacks and the insomniacs, now the paper's been read. Now the waitress said, eggs and sausages and a side of toast, a coffee and a roll, hash browns are what easy. Chili in a bowl with burgers and fries. What kind of pie?
You know, Ralph the Dog was based entirely on Tom Waits. And that Tom Waits said, I think, I remember reading an interview somewhere, he said that was one of the greatest compliments of his entire career. Was that the Muppets designed a Muppet. They designed a Muppet on Tom Waits, his 70s persona. Ralph, think of Ralph the Dog, you know, at the piano. Ah, yeah, he's got his little beatnik rap, and he's like flopping at the keys.
You may not know this, but I'm really a very sentimental dog. I cry easily. Onions, for instance, always make me cry. I'll admit, I split bananas, take Easter eggs, and make them die. But I never harmed an onion. So why should they make me cry?
But then the fact that he then went and, you know, he left Ralph the Dog like in the dust, you know, it's an that's an amazing thing.
A million in a drop dead suit, dark shipping on a downtown train. $2 pistol, but the gun won't shoot. I'm in the corner on the pouring rain. 16 men on a dead man's chest.
Can you think of when in your own songwriting you had Tom Waits in mind?
Blue Mermaid Dress was, I mean, I wrote that song at 4 in the morning after listening to 56 Tom Waits tracks in a row. New Tom Waits, Orphans had just come out. I remember it was 2006, it was my birthday. My birthday was on a Friday, November 23rd, Orphans came out on the 22nd. I listened to the entire thing, I lay down in the dark, and I listened to all three discs in a row. And then I just was so wired on Tom Waits, and I just had all these words and all blooming in my mind. And I went and sat in the kitchen, and I started singing a very Tom Waits melody. I just kept playing the same chords round and round, and then before I knew it, I had almost all the words to Blue Mermaid Dress, which is extremely distinctive as a Corin Raymond song, and yet it is one of the ones probably the most influenced by Tom Waits. I built us a fire. Do you remember that? Sam Cooke was singing, that's where it's at. Aretha knew just how I made you feel. Suddenly all of their music was real. But songs all resolve, they come back to the one. While people just live with the damage they've done. Every song that I loved count as my friend. Not even the band knows how this one will end. 'Cause where you are now, I can't even guess. But I remember you in your blue mermaid dress.
Tell me about the Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones, man. They're like what Tom Waits is to singer-songwriters. They are to bands. Sean Cotton was way more into the Stones than I was, and he's the music in The Undesirables. He's the band. He's composed virtually all of our music. And the Stones were his heroes from a very early age. The Undesirables have covered Exile on Main Street in its entirety. That's 18 songs, two guys, one guitar. And we did that show several times. We did two sold-out nights at Times Change in Winnipeg, Manitoba. It was beautiful. It was a cool thing. We did a cool thing. We climbed Mount Exile. And it was almost like this. It was almost like forbidden juju, that knowledge. Even the time that when I knew the lyrics to that entire album, I knew every song, I knew all the words. It almost felt like this Kabbalistic kind of rock and roll knowledge that I shouldn't even have. When you The magical thing about the Rolling Stones and the magical thing about Exile on Main Street particularly is they just sound so cool. It's so dense. It's so dangerous and muddy and dirty. And it's just this incredible celebration. It's just a nonstop gospel rock and roll party. And you can hardly understand anything like that they're saying, that Mick is saying. It's like you don't know. I mean, that's the great thing about that album, is it's murkiness. And you can listen to it and you can make up your own shit. You know, Sean and I, when we originally tried to figure out some of those songs, we ended up having to write a lot of the lyrics that we couldn't understand. And that's the great thing about not having the internet. Nowadays, you got the internet, you go on there, you can probably find that stuff, or you can find someone's version of it, and then they run you around in circles. But in those days, it was beautiful, because all we had was, we just played the tape, and we tried to write down what we thought they were saying. And we ended up, actually, as it turned out, we ended up with some much cooler lyrics, which we then ended up stealing and using for ourselves.
Which songs?
Well, there's a song, one of my favorite Undesirable songs, is called Round Trip Love Song. And there's a line in that song, I was barefoot all the summer.
Barefoot all the summer.
Running from the blues.
I was running from the blues. But August ended and September came, and I had to squeeze back into my shoes.
And which Stone song was that misunderstood from?
Called Sweet Virginia. And he says, yes, I had the desert in my toenail.
Yes, I got the desert in my toenail.
had to squeeze inside my shoes. And I thought, wow, that's great. Turned out what he was saying was, and I hid the speed inside my shoe. You know, it's not going very far to hide your speed, but but it makes sense. It's a good Rolling Stones lyric. But I think you'll admit, and I had to squeeze inside my shoes. It's like, it says way more about where you're coming from and where you're going back to.
I'll admit that.
Yeah. And so but it was great, because then all of a sudden that was up for grabs. That was public domain. So we used that. We did that a couple times. And but the Rolling Stones, man, the Rolling Stones, really, they just say, you know, they're so feel-driven, they're so groove-driven.
Got a sweet like an angel, got a green off girl. Got a sweet like an angel, up upon the mile wall. Well, she ain't no C-bop, she ain't no star. But she showed off good.
Basically, the Rolling Stones say, get it right in your belly. Just make sure it gives you the shivers. Make sure you can dance to it. And, you know, the rest will fall into place. That's what the Stones say. And they also say, you don't ever have to come here. Which I really appreciate.
Counting up your dead. She's a sweet black angel. Not a sweet black kid.
Tell me about the band.
Band are similar in a way, except way tighter and, you know, and way more connected to the music of the Southern United States. You know, they just have that amazing feel that is kind of above all else. And the soul, you know, and the soul. And the Stones are the same, you know. The Stones are coming from a place where they're trying to write R&B, you know, R&B and soul music and blues the way that they worshipped it. You know, coming out of Chicago and coming out of Memphis. And just the fact that with both the Stones and with the band, but particularly with the band, as with Tom Waits, all of these guys are just, they're one step removed from the real original wellspring, the raw American source of the music that inspires me the most. Gospel music, country music, rock and roll music, you know, music from New Orleans, ragtime, Mississippi music, you know, all that stuff that I love so much.
Ain't no more Cain on the horizon. Ooh, ooh. It's all been ground down to the last hill.
You know, gospel music is probably my favorite kind, and when I hear the band who are writing their own songs and doing amazing things with old songs, like, these guys were there. My favorite song by the band is on the Basement Tapes. It's called Reuben Remus. It's a song about the minstrel shows that used to come through the South. And it's a song about the memories that Levon Helm has of these minstrel shows.
I knew the man I tried to remember, just where it was I'd seen his face. Long ago in a movie show,
it's epic. It's like 2.5 minutes long or something. And I lay in a bath one time, fairly stoned, and I listened to that song a couple times. It just seemed to encompass everything. Like, it really seemed to contain all emotion in it, and all the trajectories of all the aches and stories that had ever been fought and felt. You know, it really is, it's just an epic little song. It's wonderful. And if anyone out there needs to know, like, well, where do, you know, the band, the soul, the words, the songs, the voices, all the things I've been talking about, it's all in that track.
But it's been done before. You couldn't see he's a traveling man. And he cannot take your hand. It's very hard. Why is so?
Tell me about Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke is the greatest singer ever. He's probably the same. He's the singer that I love the most, that comforts me the most. I really feel like I have the spirit of Sam Cooke, only in that I have the same need that Sam Cooke had, the same need to make people happy, the same need to communicate, and the same joy in singing, you know. And the thing is, like, I'll never sing like Sam Cooke, and no one will. I mean, what was it Keith Richards said about him? He said that all singers have to measure themselves against Sam Cooke, and most of them go back to pumping gas. That's what he said.
I don't mean to bother you, but I'm in distress, and that stranger up and losing all of my happiness. For I love a girl who doesn't know I exist, and this you can fix. So, Cupid, draw back to Rome, and let your arrow go ha, straight to my lover's heart. For me, nobody but me, and Cupid, please hear my cry, and let your arrow fly, yeah, straight to my lover's heart, for me, yeah. Shoot.
Sam Cooke is the kind of singer that he'll get a hold of you, you know. You listen to him too much and you are not going to sound like anyone else. Like, you just get pulled right into his, you just get pulled right into his world. I mean, he was singing from the time he was a child. I remember reading about him being 4 years old and going out in the back and making a pile of sticks and singing to the sticks. He would sing to the pile of sticks. I totally understand that need to sing and that love of singing, and that when you sing, God is happy.
That's what you've been my light and darkness. That's what you. Oh, you lifted my heavy burdens. That's what world. Then you took my feet out to Mark Lane, and I'll never singing Jesus. What you've done for me, Jesus, I'll never forget. You set my soul free, Jesus, I'll never forget. How you brought me out. Well, no, 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 I'll never forget where you've been, my mother.
And Sam Cooke is one of those guys, as soon as he sings, you know, you feel like he's singing just for you. That's a talent, too. He's singing, you know, in the studio some 40 years ago, and when I listen to the recording, I really feel like he is singing to me directly. His voice is just like, it's like butter melting. It's that joy that he brings, you know. He laughs when he sings, you know, and that, like, I get that. I laugh when I sing all the time, and it's become something people comment about. They're like, you know, when they see The Undesirables, or they see me, and they're like, I love how you laugh when you sing. And again, I feel like, again, I'm not putting it on. I'm not putting it on. It's an unadulterated joy for me. I just feel so good when I start singing. It doesn't matter how I'm feeling. It doesn't matter what's going on. I just start singing, and I feel so good that I just start laughing. You know, again, that's not something that comes up these days. You don't hear laughter on recordings. And that's something that I love about the Stones and the band and Tom Waits. It's not that they were laughing on their recordings, but that there was that there was room for something living, something alive and in the moment, and something unexpected, and an atmosphere, an emotional atmosphere was created. And I feel like Sam Cooke had that same thing with his laughter and that melisma that he would use. And it just was like, it was like he could express himself so joyously in the moment, and that stuff lives forever on those recordings.
I know. Don't forget him, master. I never could do that. Never could. No other song could do that. Not even to tell you, Mr. DJ. Keep those records playing. Cause I'm having such a good time. I'm down here. Everybody help me sing. Having a party. Everybody.
Corin performs regularly around Toronto. He tours Southern Ontario a lot. It's not unusual to find him in Winnipeg or Alberta, occasionally in BC and in the States and Australia. Check him out at corinraymond.com. Check out The Undesirables at theundesirables.com, or type Corin's name or The Undesirables into MySpace. You'll find him. And let's go out with an Undesirable song directly inspired by the Sam Cooke song we've been listening to. It's called Dancing on the Fault Line.
I got a stick of licorice, two straws, and a soda.
Let me hold your popcorn while you take your coat off. When those lights dim and the curtains part, I only know it's gonna steal my heart. It's all sold out on a Saturday night. I'm right next to you in the flickering dark. When you take my hand, here comes my favorite part. We can run under gunfire. Just stay on my arm and darling, you'll be fine.
When we kiss, you can lean into my eyes.
The music will slow down every time. I'll take you dancing on the fault line. We'll be running every red line. I'll take you dancing.